Blessed be our God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the Song of Zechariah in unison. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There were 24 orders or families within the tribe of Levi. 24 families whose job it was to take care of the temple. This was the priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi. And so in order to parse out the duties, each family would take a turn caring for the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, the most sacred space in all of Judaism. You see, inside the temple, there was a room. In the very heart of the temple, this room was called the Holy of Holies, and no one was allowed to enter it. It was considered so full of the presence of God that a person would go in there and die. Only one man was allowed in there, solely for the purpose of exchanging the incense so that it was kept burning all the time. And this man would be chosen from among those 24 families. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was from the family of Abijah, the 8th. Of those 24 families, and it was time for his family to enter the Holy of Holies. But even then, all of the men of that family would have had to draw lots, and the lot fell to Zechariah. Luke never does tell us if Zechariah had been in that holy room at all before, or if this was his first time. I wish I could ask Luke questions like that, but the gospel writer seems to tell us only the bare necessities of the story, and all that we know is that Zechariah was appointed to go into that very holy space. And it was in that space, in the Holy of Holies, that Zechariah had an experience of God. An angel came to him, telling them that he and his wife would have a child, a son. And when Zechariah can't believe this and questions the angel silences him so that he can literally no longer speak. It's as if the angel is saying, "Be quiet and listen." Zechariah is literally tongue-tied until his son is born, and he names his son John. And then he can speak again. On the second Sunday of Advent, as we light the second candle of our Advent wreath, we always remember John the Baptist. And it's easy to forget where John the Baptist came from, because most of us, we think of him as this sort of wild guy living out in the desert eating bugs. But don't forget, John the Baptist came from a priestly family. He had everything. He would have been very well-to-do. As the only son of older parents who waited their whole lives to have him, I imagine that John the Baptist was brought up with every single thing he wanted. He would have had beautiful clothes, the best of all education in Judaism, a safe place to live, friends, family. So can you imagine the conversation between John and his father Zechariah when John says, "Dad, I need to listen for God's voice, so I'm going to leave Jerusalem now, and I'm going to take off, and I'm going to live in the desert as a homeless man." How do you think that went over? Say what? After all that I've given you, after all that you have, how could you do this to me? But you see, John had a higher priority than just pleasing his parents or fulfilling some kind of expectation that had to do with his genealogy. John wanted to listen for the voice of God. And he knew that if you really want to listen for God, you've got to make some space in your life. It's hard to listen when everyone's talking all around you. It's hard to listen when you're surrounded by your relatives and friends and your schedule is full and you're busy. It's hard to listen when you're preoccupied with pleasing everyone else around you. So John knew that he needed to get away to a place that was quiet if he was going to hear the voice of God. I've walked out into the desert in Israel, and it is quiet. You can't even hear a bird singing. All you hear is the sound of your own thoughts. So if there's anywhere that John could have listened, it was there, in the total and utter silence of the desert. And Luke writes, again, with, I wish I could ask Luke, tell me more, but all Luke says was that the word of God came to John in the wilderness, in the desert. Well, what was that like, I want to ask? Was it a vision? Was it a voice? How did the word of God come to John? Luke doesn't tell us. Maybe it's private. Maybe that was supposed to be only between John and God. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference and I saw an old friend that I hadn't seen in years. His name is John, too, and he's a priest. He has a church up in Virginia. So my friend John and I got to sit together at dinner. And John said, "Kate, I want to tell you something. And I haven't told many people about what I'm going to tell you." I said, "Sure, John, I'll listen to whatever you have to say." Even before he began to speak, my friend John got tears in his eyes. "I've had an experience of God," he said, "and it's so hard for me to put it into words that I haven't told many people, but I thought I could try to tell you, and maybe you could tell me if you think I'm crazy." My friend John was on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and he went to the Wailing Wall, which, as many of you know, is the only wall that's left standing of that same temple that Zechariah went in to pray. And Jews and others from all over the world come to the Wailing Wall, and they take little pieces of paper and they write prayers on those pieces of paper, and they insert them into the cracks between the stones of the wall. And you can see all these Jews praying, and they often sort of bow like this as they're praying, and they sing or they talk, and there are just hundreds and hundreds, thousands of pilgrims that come and pray at this wall all the time. All the time. And so my friend John came to the wall, and he was looking around, and he walked right up to those old stones, and he said, "Something came over me and I wanted to touch the wall, so I reached out and I touched it with my fingers. And as I touched it, Kate, something happened. I was lifted up and I could see all these pilgrims praying and I could hear their prayers and I knew what it was they were praying about, all of them at the same time. And then my life flooded before me, my memories of childhood, and I saw things from a new perspective, how beautiful my life is and how beautiful the lives of these people who were praying. And I was overwhelmed. But I thought, I must be crazy. Maybe I'm dehydrated. So I left. But this vision, it just stayed with me. So I went back the next day, and I walked right up to the wall again, and I touched it, and the very same thing happened. And I can't explain it. I can't even find the words. And by now, my friend John was crying. "I think that God came to me," he said. "But now I'm not sure what to do with it." It's hard to listen for God. And then it's hard when God says something. Sometimes I think we're too afraid to listen, because if God spoke, it would be so overwhelming. Maybe we would just drop dead. When the word of God came to John the Baptist, God told him somehow, in some way, that the Messiah was coming. And so John began preaching and telling everyone to get ready. And he used these words from the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Make your path straight. Make a way for God." It reminds me in a way of cleaning up my house, you know. I have to clean a lot with three boys. When you clean a room, you have to pick things up and put them away. You're literally making a space in which you can live. Making your home more like a home. And I think what John was telling us is that if we're going to listen for God, if we're going to wait for the Messiah, if we want God to come more into our lives, we've got to make some space for God. You've got to clear out some stuff. That actually the process of listening is a very active process, especially for us today. You have got to carve out time in your schedule for God. And that may mean getting rid of some stuff, and that's hard to do. You may have to say no to some Christmas parties. You may have to say, you know what, this year I'm not going to decorate to the nines. I'm going to try to spend some time with God. You have to fight to clear a space in your life, a space for God to enter. God is love. God is not necessarily going to fight his way into your life. God waits. Waits for you to make his path straight. It's hard to listen. It takes effort. It also takes courage. You know, even at the end of his life, John the Baptist still was not sure. He still, even after baptizing the Son of God, he still had moments of doubt and fear. At the end of his life, when he's in prison, he sends a message to Jesus asking this question: are you the Messiah? Or are we supposed to wait for someone else? In other words, am I crazy? Are you the one? Or did I get it wrong? I'm not sure. I tried so hard to listen. I tried to do what God told me, but was I right? Will everything really be okay? Jesus said that there was no one more faithful than John the Baptist. No one. And if John the Baptist got scared and wondered if he had heard right, then it's okay for you to get scared too, and for me. Having faith, I think, simply means making the effort to try to listen. Every time you have to make a decision in your life, to just carve out a moment and ask God, is this your will or not? And then know that even if you get it wrong, that you've tried. That in the end, all that matters to God is that you've tried. It takes enormous courage to listen. It takes enormous courage. Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Hear us, good Lord, as we pray to you with the words, Lord, come among us. Almighty God, we ask you to guide us as we seek to serve you and bring about your peace in this broken world. Help us to find a way to end the violence and hatred that threaten the safety of our own nation and that plague the Middle East and Europe. Guide us to administer justice. Keep our loved ones safe. Help us to show both mercy and compassion. You alone can guide us. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Be present with those who are sick or suffering in any way. Bless those who mourn. Comfort the lonely in this holiday season and come to the aid of those who are poor and in need. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Embrace the souls of those who have died. May they see you face to face. We especially remember Todd Copeland. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Bless this community, Lord, as we seek to worship and serve you without fear. Help us to make space for you in our busy lives so that we may be ready for the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
We give you thanks for the many gifts that you have given us, for the love of family and friends, for our children, for the gifts of music, art, and literature, for the freedom to worship you, and for this beautiful cathedral. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Holy God, you desire to transform us and lead us into the fullness of life, but we have become busy, choked by the things that we think are important. Allow us to let go of our false idols, to lean into your infinite goodness, and to create a space to listen to you, a space where you may come in and transform us. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral. I'm so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. Please keep your hand up until they find you. We're so glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. There's also a little newcomer card that you can fill out in your pew, and we will send you our e-newsletter. So glad you're here. We have an alternative gift market that goes on during Advent, and it continues this Sunday. Representatives from the Sulzbacher, a homeless shelter, and the Church Without Walls will be available after this service in the lobby outside of Tolliver Hall to answer any questions. So what you can do is to buy a gift in honor of someone you love, but the donation goes to these wonderful charities that we believe in. So see your bulletin for more details about that. Also, after the service, we have this incredible parishioner, Lisa Nass, who has written a book called Monk, Monk and Me, and it is a children's book. Along with it comes something that she invented called a comfort critter. This comfort critter is a stuffed animal that you can hold on, but it includes your prayers with it. So I hope you'll go by and see her table and hold a comfort critter. I think they're a marvelous thing from God. There's more details about her project in the bulletin as well. Tonight we have something to be thankful for. Mark Anderson, who grew up at this cathedral, is being ordained a deacon. He is almost done with his seminary education. He's up at Yale Divinity School. So come and celebrate his ordination with us today at 5 o'clock. We have a newcomer social coming up this Thursday. Please RSVP if you'd like to come. Also, next Sunday, join us here in the sanctuary before the 11 o'clock service at 10:30 to sing the Messiah. You all like the Messiah? The choir is going to help us. So it's a sing-along. I hope you'll come. It'll be really fun. Also next Sunday, after the 11 o'clock service, there will be an AgeWell workshop in Ingram Lounge, and it's on how you can prevent yourself or your loved one from falling. So that can be very useful. And on Wednesday, December the 16th, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a new thing. We've been doing Los Posadas, which is a Latin celebration of Advent. This year, we're going to do Ye Old English Christmas. We're going to have dinner with a carving station, music with choristers and celebration singers, and a visit from Father Christmas himself. So that is on Wednesday the 16th. I hope you'll join us. Remember in this season to be generous with your church as our Lord has been so generous to us.
Thank you.
work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this to remember me." Great is the mystery of faith. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ, and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last with John and all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by him and with him and in him, with all who stand before you in heaven and earth, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God watch over you who wait for Christ to come again, you who long to see his face, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.